Welcome, we're back.
It's the Bob and Sherry Show with Bob.
You are a delight.
And Sherry.
I am worshipped here.
And now, broadcasting from the Palatial Bob and Sherry Studios, it's Bob and Sherry.
We welcome you to the Bob and Sherry Show, and I would like to start out with sort of a little quiz for everybody. The quiz is, I'm going to tell you a news item, and I want you to tell me what is missing in this news item. What has been left out of, not necessarily by the writer of the news item, but has been left out by the royal family. So the news item is this. They are opening up the interior of Balmoral Castle to the public for the first time. Now, you probably have heard that referred to, Balmoral Castle. The queen, the late queen, loved it. She could get away from the crowds, had all of that land. She just loved the place. Most of the royals don't even like Buckingham Palace. It's the heating and the cooling system is awful. It's a drafty place. But this is where, you know, Charles spent a good part of his youth. It's a Scottish retreat, and this summer they're going to open it up to 40 people. I don't know how, I guess you just go into a lottery to go inside. And to go inside will cost you £100 or £150 with afternoon tea. So it's, you know, like $120 US. And you will get a tour of the castle. You'll find out about the history and the legacy. Let's see, what else can I tell you about it? The queen was photographed. That's where her last photograph was, 2 days before she passed. The castle was built in 1855. And it has been restricted to the public until now. Some people could get a tour of like the grounds, but you could not go inside. Now, I'm going to ask you what has been left out. See if you can figure what has been left out.
Okay.
You will see a collection of watercolors by Charles because he was renowned for his painting. He was a very good painter. You're going to see a selection of beautiful rooms used by Charles, used by the Queen. You're going to see the ballroom on the grounds, and you are also going to see some outfits that were worn by the king, Queen Camilla, the late Queen Elizabeth, and the Queen Mother. They'll all be on display. Also, you'll see hundreds of trees that he planted, that Charles planted, on the property. Also, pictures of the princes, Prince Philip and his brothers, the king's brothers, Edward and Andrew, that were taken when they were children. What has been left out?
The bathroom.
No.
The loo.
No.
The loo. I want to see the loo.
The real throne, huh? Yeah. No. I'll give you a hint. It's an item. It's not a room. It's an item.
And I mean, we're not talking like jewels, like a crown or crown jewels, right?
No, we're not talking.
No, they're in the
that.
Tower. They're in the tower.
It's okay. an item.
This is an item. And I'll tease it again. Some of the things you'll see would be outfits worn by Charles, Camilla, the late Queen Elizabeth, the Queen Mother. They'll be on display.
One of the crowns?
No.
No, it's not one of the crowns.
Andrew's
it's not little, Andrew's little, humanity because he never had that.
I was going to say Andrew's little black book.
Diana.
I mean, I didn't expect Diana to be there, though. I'm not even a little bit surprised that she's not there. You're surprised that they don't have any Diana acknowledgement?
I don't know that I'm surprised. But it was very noticeable that she was erased. I mean, this is a woman who was.
I feel like they erased her a long time ago.
Before she died.
A style setter, though. Everyone knows about Diana and her beauty and her charm and the legacy and all of that. But there's not one outfit. Are you not?
Is there a Diana museum over there? Is there a museum to her?
I don't think so.
There's a at the Spencer where that little island where her grave is. I think they have something, but you know, I'm not surprised One, because Charles married the woman he was cheating on Diana with, and Camilla doesn't seem like the kind of gal to be cool with that. And two, they erased Diana before she died, and it was the public that forced their hand in the state funeral. So now I'm not even a little bit surprised. I'd be shocked if they referenced her.
So when William becomes king eventually one day, does he change all of that for his mother's legacy?
No. Mm-mm. I don't think he does. So.
Really?
No. Nope.
He's out.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's cold.
I think she's
bad, really cold. But she's out.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I know, but she's out.
Yeah, that's right. So there it is. It's open. If you're one of the 40, good luck. It's straight ahead. Morons in the news. It's Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talkback. Talkback with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Max was just mentioning a few minutes ago before we were on mic that it wasn't but a few days ago that Chicago got some snow in April. And all I could think about was my daughter, Landon, she and her husband, and my first grandchild was born in Chicago. And they loved the city, but Landon said the only thing that was really, really depressing was you got through the Chicago winter, you have the right clothing, it's behind you, and then you get clobbered with 6 to 8 inches of snow in April, or once in a while in May. She said it was really debilitating, and I'm sorry that they're dealing with that.
I remember growing up out west and the despair of snow coming like on Mother's Day, because we would get sometimes 1 year it snowed. Now it was a freak snowstorm, but it was like it left 3 or 4 inches on the ground in June. When you're a kid
in June
and you're when you're a kid and you're so, and you've had winter, like when I was a kid, winter began, heavy snowfalls began before Halloween, and we wouldn't have all the snow completely off the ground until close to Memorial Day. Now, you still had snow caps in the mountains, right? But we didn't get all the snow off the ground until the end of May. And then it snows again in June. That is a bitter, bitter pill. And so I felt for like Chicago, Maine. A week or so ago, Tony Garcia, who we work with, who lives in Colorado, he got buried alive by 2 days of snow. Like snow was so deep that when you looked at his deck, you couldn't tell what was sitting on his deck. It was just snow. Crazy.
There are a lot of late snow this year. Yeah. I can remember when I grew up outside of Scranton, Pennsylvania, we would have snow in April, and it was Easter, and we made a snowman with Easter bunny ears on it.
Really?
Yes.
You know, the Northeast growing up, we got a lot of snow, but not like that. Not like when it snows in Wyoming, or Colorado, that you can get some heavy snow. It would generally be gone by March, but there was always that one patch or two where you lived that was in the shade, and it was like a pile of dirty ice. And you'd look over at it and you'd say, how could that still be here? It's 65 degrees, but it would not give up the ghost.
It is so, and you get used to it. Like if that's where you live, like Mainers, you know, like our friend Becky, Mainers are like, it's snowing on the 4th of July. Pepperidge Farm remembers. I mean, they're just like so chill about the whole thing.
Oh, she prefers it. She prefers it to humidity.
I'm like, oh my God, Becky, you're getting a blizzard on the 4th of July. Ah, it weeds out the crap. Like, I just can't. But there are people that do really well. They do really, really well with that. And you just have to be used to it. I always felt like it was the worst, cruelest joke that the weather could play on you to get a spring blizzard. Just when you thought, oh, look, daffodils.
I noticed the People's Movie Critic Lamar didn't have anything to offer this, because that wasn't happening in Hartwell, Georgia in April, was it?
No.
How old were you when you first saw snow, when you first experienced snow? Do you remember?
Oh, no, I was a kid. I mean, every couple of years you'd get a little dusting or whatever. I mean, but not enough to.
Yeah, but I mean,
of course,
it
didn't take much to keep you out of school. No, no snowstorm. God, I was way up before we ever got any serious snow.
Were you like in your 20s and you went to the Appalachian Mountains or something where it was snowing?
Yeah, no, we'd go. Yeah, we would go up there to ski. Yeah, but as far as snow, you know, we just didn't get it. it was very unusual. Very unusual.
How old were you? I didn't know you skied. You were a skier?
I skied with you at the Olympics.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
You're a good skier.
I don't look like a skier, but I can ski.
No, I just thought of, I'm not saying that. I just thought of Georgia, you know. I'm not saying that I only picture you at a tractor pool. You know, that's not what I'm saying.
That's what I was picturing. He had garbage can lids on his feet and jumper cables tied to the bumper of the car going behind it in a field. That's what I'm picturing.
I don't know why Sherry wasn't with it, but we were broadcasting from the Olympics in Park City, Utah, right? And we spent a couple of afternoons skiing.
You were a little shocked when we got out there. You was a little shocked, but yeah, I could ski.
I wasn't with y'all because I was nursing a baby.
Yeah, that's right.
And they wouldn't let me bring my baby. They were like, why don't you wean that baby? And I was like, why don't you wean this? And so y'all went.
Yeah.
I'm glad I brought that up, Lamar.
Thank you.
Memories. Yeah. We got more us in the news next. Woohoo! And around a Bob and Sherry's small plates and some brutal truths about being a wife. It's Bob and Sherry. Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Bob and Sherry. You see, that's all I could come up with because I'm an idiot. With Morons in the News.
So there's a Florida man whose name is Max Kerjak. He is 33 years old, and he pleaded no contest. And in court, the judge ordered him to pay a total of $675 in fines for court costs and fees and all of that. And he also has to come up with about $250, which was for a bill that he just walked out on. He was drunk and he went to a tattoo artist. I have always felt that tattoo artists should require people not to be drunk. You know, maybe have a breathalyzer because you can make some really bad decisions. Now, one of the decisions is you picked a bad tattoo. This guy, I don't think he picked a bad tattoo. He wanted a tattoo of the Waffle House logo. And that was going to be $250. It was $100 more if they used yellow, but he just went with gray and black. You can just picture the Waffle House logo, most of you. And after the tattoo artist gave him the logo on his arm, and he did a very good job, Max there said, I don't have any money on me. I got $6, but I don't have any money. And he was going to walk out without paying his bill. So the tattoo artist decided he would call the police. And they did. And they came and got him, and they arrested him. So he is photographed with the tattoo and an orange jumpsuit. You just should not do some things. I don't know if he had a friend with him. But if you're drunk, don't you think going to a tattoo parlor is the wrong thing to do?
I'm getting some prepayment if I'm a tattoo guy. Prepaid.
Yeah.
It feels like the sort of thing you'd regret when you sobered up, usually. But you could get lucky.
It's a great tattoo. It looks exactly like the Waffle House logo, and it's on his arm now. And he had to pay off.
There's a wild video of a little kid terrorizing a plane full of passengers, and it's getting millions and millions of views. And it's got a big debate about the parents. What should they have done? How should they handle this? The shot shows a pigtailed little girl standing on the tray table behind the guy and jumping up and down and up and down, and it's rocking the chair back and forth, back and forth.
Oh, no.
And, you know, He maintained his patience. He didn't do anything. But everybody that sees this has gone berserk. You know, one of the people that posted says, I might be awful, but never have I wanted a tray table to catastrophically fail as bad as I did watching this.
I can't believe he didn't.
Yeah, and one of the other posters said, I would never allow one of my kids to disrupt someone this way. Talking a little loud is one thing, but having your toddler jump up and down on plane seats and holding on to people's chairs is just completely wrong. And one guy said, hey, the bouncing is really infuriating, but bare feet on a tray table? Come on, folks, always wipe down your stations. This is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Where were the flight attendants? Where were the flight attendants?
I don't know.
I saw a woman
do that.
I saw a woman on a flight not too long ago get yelled at by a flight attendant for not taking her earbuds out for the safety speech. How did you miss the kid jumping up and down on the tray table?
Oh, amen.
Amen.
All right. Yeah. Today's moron of the day has got a lot of money. His name is Anthony Jabin. He's a tech investor in Beverly Hills, and he had the lifelong dream of spending his life with Marilyn Monroe, which did not happen, of course. But he went to an auction and spent $195,000 to snag a mausoleum crypt one row above hers and four spaces to the left. Do you know who is next to Marilyn Monroe? You know who
Hugh
beat
Hefner.
Him to it? Hugh Hefner.
Yeah.
That's right. Hugh Hefner bought that crypt. While my man here was at the auction, he bought some other things too. He bought a circular bed that had once belonged to Hugh Hefner. And I hope he has plenty of Clorox wipes. And he bought a bathing suit that belonged to Marilyn Monroe. It was a three-day auction. And this guy spent big bucks. But, of course, he has big bucks to spend. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm, like, a clean freak or whatever. The last thing I want coming into my house is Hugh Hefner's circular bed.
Especially.
There ain't enough bleach and luminol in the world.
I saw that Marilyn's, one of Marilyn's gowns was also auctioned off for like $3,500, something like that. A beautiful gown, size 10.
Oh, no, no. That was a pink silk long-sleeved Pucci dress for $325,000.
Oh, my goodness.
A dress she wore to a press conference for a movie called The Misfits. That one sold for $65,000. You can't get Hugh Hefner's used Kleenex for $3,500, my friend, much less Marilyn Monroe's dress. Mm-hmm. And ew, what a keepsake that would be. It's Bob and Sherry.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
I live in kind of an interesting neighborhood. There are all sorts of people. We have a school teacher who lives two doors down, a retired guy who lives next to us. It's a nice mix of different types of people. And somewhere within about a mile or 2 miles of my house, there's somebody who has just purchased a brand new Rolls Royce. And I've seen them two or three times. I saw them coming out of it's the same person, coming out of a drugstore that I go to. I've seen them on the road. And I know it's a new Rolls Royce. It doesn't have that little badge on the top that sticks up. I don't think they make those anymore because people steal them. But it's a beautiful car. And I see that car. I was right behind it the other day. And I say to myself, even if I had their money, I don't think I could buy a Rolls Royce and drive it around. Because everybody's looking at you all the time. And they're thinking about, how much did that cost? I would worry about where I was parking it, that there wouldn't be somebody that would get out of a car and say, I hate that rich SUV, and I'm going to do this.
I have the driver's window now with my hand out going, hey, how y'all doing?
No, you would not.
Yes, I would too,
no,
buddy.
You,
woo!
If you had $100 million, you would buy a Rolls Royce.
I'd start with that and move up from there, but yeah, absolutely. I'd get the convertible so they could see me real good. What are you talking about?
I feel like such a phony right now, but with everything that I've just said, I mean...
Yeah, but, you are a phony.
No, you know that.
I really don't think that I could... I would have a nice car, a very nice car, but I don't think it would be a Rolls Royce. It's just too, hey, look at me. A convertible waving.
I couldn't have it because I don't deserve it the way I keep a car and drive. I don't deserve Rolls Royce. That's why I can't have it.
I don't know who this person is, but I'm going to think of you, Lamar, every time I see them now around the neighborhood.
That's my motto. It's Bob. Hey, look at me. That's my motto.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Easy Cater. Easy Cater has everything you need to make food for work work.
It's time for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here's comedian Sarah Schaefer.
But like, how are y'all? Ooh. Things have been nutty lately. This year? Whoa. This year, I mean, who here is already ready for it to be over? Yeah. I'm not talking about the year. I'm talking about all of it. Who here is done? Yeah, I'm done. Bring the end of the world now. Take me in the first wave. I don't want to survive. Mama's tired. I don't want to forage. I don't want to go on a supply run. I have thought this through. I don't even want to have to repopulate the earth because I'm the only woman left in my group of very attractive younger men and I have to have sex with all of them and it's not slutty, it's noble. Like, I don't even want that anymore. I'm done. Doesn't do it for me like it used to. Sorry, I didn't mean to start the show off on such a morbid note, but society is crumbling. You know, a lot of people are like, why? Why? And you can Google why. You know, like articles will come up. But I don't need to Google it because I already know why. I know why we're in this mess. I've identified the culprit. There's one source of the decay of human civilization, and that is a particular trend in home decor. Now, some of you have this up in your house right now. And what it is inspirational quotes on rustic pieces of driftwood in multiple fonts. You know what I'm talking about. Oh my God. Now, as we know, for the quote to go on the rustic piece of driftwood, it must feature one of the key words. If it doesn't have one of these key words in the quote, it's not inspirational enough. Do not put it on wood. Don't waste our time. Those words include journey, faith, hope, sister, live, laugh, love. You know what I'm talking about. Kitchen. The whole set is me just listing the words. The whole show is just this. Wine. Blessed. Believe. Believe. Believe is so powerful. It's so potent. It can live by itself on a piece of driftwood. Some people don't even put it on wood. Some people just tattoo it on the front of their neck, and that's a choice. But how does it work? Like, if you need a sign to remind you to laugh, are you all right? You go through your house and you see it, and you're like, oh, I almost forgot. Like, talk to someone. You are not okay. I always do feel a little bit bad when I tell that joke because there's usually at least one woman's face in the crowd just dissolving off her head. She's just like, oh no, that's me. Look, I'm just poking fun. Those signs are fine. As long as you don't have too many of them, right? And there's a very easy way to figure out if you have too many inspirational quotes on rustic pieces of driftwood in multiple fonts. All you have to do is just close your eyes. Everybody here, just close your eyes. Imagine your house. And you're just going to go through the house and you're going to count them up. Go through the bedroom, bathroom, hallway, living room, kitchen. Maybe you have a little, you had me at Merlot. Yeah, that counts as two. Don't forget the front porch. That's where people put their signs that announces what kind of house this is. It's usually blessed and there's a mess of some kind. Everybody got their number? All right, if your number is greater than zero, you have too many of them. It's too many.
We've talked about it.
Sarah Schaefer. And we're going to post her up at BOBANDSHERI.com. Just click the menu tab and look for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Coming up, brutal truths about being a wife. It's Bob and Sherry.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
Help a teacher schedule their summer vacation by sending them to Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach. Nominate a teacher at bobandsherry.com, and every month we're selecting a teacher to win a vacation from Visit Florida.
You know, Kevin can drive now. He has his walking cast is off, and he has a brace that he wears, and he goes to physical therapy, and he can drive, but he really is limited, you know, how much distance he can put on the foot. He has to be super careful. Like on the weekend of Easter last week, we did an Easter egg hunt with the kids, and that pretty much was the maximum hopping around that he could do. But he can drive. So yesterday morning, he left to drive to Utah to visit my mom because she just was adamant that I know Kevin's going to come and see me in April. I know he'll be fine. He can drive. He'll be fine. And I told my mom, I don't think so, Mom. I mean, this is not looking good. Of course, this was January, February, but you know, he got in the car yesterday and he's going to take his time. And of course, you know, he got to drive through the path of the eclipse and all of that. And so this weekend, I'm flying out to Utah to see my mom. And he'll already be there, the pampered prince of the desert, with my mom fussing over him and making him little snacks and constantly refilling his glass. So I'm meeting my brother and his wife. They're flying into Salt Lake City from Philly, and I'm flying into Salt Lake City from here, and we're going to meet and drive down to St. George together. My brother and his wife have not had a getaway in 4 years. This is their first time that they're getting away together. Nancy's never been to Utah. She's never been out west. She's never been in the desert. Like, she's so excited. And there I am in the back seat going, hey, lovebirds. Can we stop at the next rest stop? You know, I believe in hydration. Hey, lovebirds. Oh, no, I don't like fast food. Is there somewhere else we can go? It is going to be such a scream to third wheel their little romantic getaway. And then we will pull in because it takes about 4 hours or so to get from Salt Lake to where my mom lives. But you're coming down through like some of the most spectacular countryside. On your right, you've got Zion National Park. On your left, you have Canyonlands and Bryce Canyon. It's like this incredibly beautiful drive through that part of the state. And by the time we get to my mom's, it'll be fairly late because we'll stop a bunch because Nancy will want to look at things and take pictures. And there my mom will be waiting for us with a bottle of wine and the Prince of the Desert with his leg up being fussed over like the little king. I'm looking forward to a very action-packed weekend.
How many days is that to drive? It's not totally cross country, but it's about 2/3 of the country.
It's a lot. If he were doing it, like if his leg was okay and he was doing it old school, he would drive about 14 hours a day and he could do it in 2.5. But no, he can't do that now. There's no way. He can go maybe 7 or 8 hours before he's got to stop and get his leg up and elevated. I think he probably will take 4 days to get out there.
Yeah, but that sounds right.
You know, the thing is, like, in case you're thinking, like, what kind of person who's going through what he's going through wants to drive across the United States of America? But exactly the kind of person that's been cooped up and hasn't been able to do much of anything except those sad 2-minute SPCA dog commercials and college basketball and softball and baseball and bowling and table tennis and synchronized swimming and dog shows and chicken shows and cattle auctions. Oh my God. If ever a man needed to get out of the house and look at the highway unspooling in front of him, it's this one. Yeah.
I'm jealous. I've traveled all over the world. I've been very lucky that way. I mean, I've been from here to Hong Kong, and I have never driven across the United States. And it's something that I wanted to do since I was a kid. Since I first heard that song, Route 6, to get your kicks on Route 66. And I've just never had the time because of radio.
I can't tell you how magical it is. I've done it a bunch because as kids, you know, with my parents, we drove back and forth all the time. But as an adult, like, that's what Kevin and I do for fun. Like, if we have a week off, we don't go to the beach. We drive across America and back. And he's really excited because he's going to go out. He's going to go through. There's a bunch of places between where we live and my mom that are loaded with all sorts of cool history, like Fort Smith, Arkansas. That's a Bonnie and Clyde hotspot, you know? Mm-hmm. So he's going to have himself a little easy does it sort of driving adventure. And he needs desperately to get out of the house.
That's
and
great.
I cannot wait. I cannot wait for my brother to see, because I'm like, Mark, I'm telling you, anything but us. Stray dogs, strangers at the grocery store, my husband, anything but us is the favorite. Wait till you see it for yourself. It's amazing. And so my brother's like, yeah, I got to lay eyes on this. Like, when you pull up and see the prince getting pampered, you're going to be like, what? I love parents.
Well, good for
him. It's Bob and Sherry. Small Plates is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people.
It is time now for Bob and Sherry's Small Plates. I have never really watched The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. You know, it's been on once in a while. Maybe Mary's tuned into it, and I'll just stop and look at it for a second. This is just not for me. But I might watch it if Bette Midler were one of the Real Housewives, and she wants to be. Bette Midler was on Twitter, now known as X, saying, and I quote, "Is it too late for me to become a Real Housewife of Beverly Hills? I've never watched it, but I am in the mood to talk some blank and get paid for it? That's a dream." Andy Cohen immediately retweeted the post and said, "It's time." So I think that would take the Real Housewives, which is kind of a joke. It's a punchline. I think it would take it into a whole different sort of realm. You know, it started out, a lot of folks didn't even know who the women were. And then you got, you know, a former A-lister show up. And then you got some actual A-listers showing up on the show. I think that if she went on with her comedy chops, and I mean, she's so talented in so many ways as a singer, as an actress, as a Vegas performer, and she has got a mouth on her, I think it would be cutting. What do you think?
I think it's a great idea. I mean, you know, she would be the biggest star, I think, to be one of the Real Housewives. I'm not taking anything away from Lisa Rinna. Do not get me wrong. But Bette Midler is a bigger star.
Right.
And of course, I mean, there's that added level of, ooh, I'm getting a peek behind the curtain of what a celebrity is really like. Yeah. I think a whole season of movie stars and pop stars or whatever being Real Housewives would be fun to watch.
I think so, too. I was surprised, weren't you, when Lisa Rinna became one of the Real Housewives? I think she was probably the first actual TV/movie star. She was more of a TV star than a movie star. But she was a big deal. And big deal.
She was someone who you knew. Yeah. Knew who she was.
Yeah. Exactly. There is a town in California, and I just love it. It's called Funner, F-U-N-N-E-R, California. And they're set to inaugurate their next mayor, and their next mayor, and this is no joke, Martin Short. It's more than an honorary thing. Beginning shortly, in a couple of weeks, I think, the city council of Funner is going to work with him to become the new mayor. Their town motto is protect fun, good times, laughing out loud, and positive vibes from the negative influences in the world today. That's the oath. The last mayor was his only murders in the building, co-star Jane Lynch. I've never heard of Funner, but don't you want to go there?
Who could be more Funner? Who could be more Funner than him as mayor? I know.
What a career that guy is having, isn't it?
Are you spelling that F-U-N-N-E-R?
That's what I have here, yeah.
Funner, California.
Yeah, F-U-N-N-E-R.
Because Wikipedia says, does not exist.
Well, okay, okay, Max. Right. Now you're the wet blanket. Max is the wet blanket.
Well, I'm just saying. Look, you said you'd never heard of it. I'm backing you up. You probably never heard of it because Wikipedia doesn't even know what Funner, California is.
You know what it probably is? If you have an old GPS, sometimes they don't have new streets in it. It could be one of those things. That's the best I've
Maybe
got.
Maybe they're trying to stay off the radar. Maybe they're trying to stay off the radar.
Could be.
It,
could be.
It does exist. I'm sorry. I did. It is the most fun state. And then I see visit Funner Harrah's Resort in Southern California. So
okay. So it does exist.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. It does. Yeah. Kind of.
Because I would have to. I would hate to think after all these years that I came up with something that wasn't accurate. You know, that would just... That would ruin it for me.
Yeah.
Roadhouse is a huge hit for Amazon. The streamer says 50 million viewers watched the film since it debuted on March 21st. And of course, this is the new version of it, not the one with Patrick Swayze, the one with Jake Gyllenhaal.
It's a shame to disappoint that many people at one time. It's a shame to disappoint that many people.
Anyone who heard Lamar's review last week probably didn't check out Roadhouse on Amazon, even though it's so popular.
Yeah.
I watched it,
but it was horrible.
I only watched this. I was dialing around, and I came upon the scene where, you know, there's three or four, you know, bad guys in the bar, and I couldn't stop watching Roadhouse until he took them outside and gave it to him. Because you knew what was coming. You knew what was coming, and you had to hang for that. But anyway, it's a big hit. I'm sorry, Lamar. This is Bob and Sherry.
True. Weird. Stuff.
In 1929, Friedrich Ritter and his mistress took off to an uninhabited island in the Galapagos to start their new life together. But their peaceful paradise was interrupted by other inhabitants, including a woman and her two German lovers. With tensions rising and questions lingering around her sudden disappearance, this is a story about the mystery of the Baroness.
True. Weird. Stuff.
New episodes drop every Friday, everywhere you get your podcasts.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
Get ready for your eyes to bug slap out of your head. So we have a couple million high school seniors that are in the middle right now in this country of deciding where they're going to go to college. And for the first time in history, a big number of private colleges, some of them are elite, and some of them are just, you know, kind of like, all right. Tuition has gone over the $90,000 mark for the first time ever.
It's ridiculous.
It is so ridiculous. Now, that's tuition, you know, your room, your board, your meals, other expenses. Some of these schools are topping out at $95,000. So here's the good news, bad news of that. Your private schools have big endowments and they give out big financial aid. My youngest goes to a school like that on a scholarship, and I'm here to tell you, big financial aid. And you may, if your kid is admitted into one of these $95,000 a year schools, you may end up only having to pay about 10% of that. Because it's a really, really, really generous financial aid system in private schools. So Wellesley, which is up in the Northeast, so it's over $90,000 to go to Wellesley, but 60% of students are going to get financial aid, and the average amount of that financial aid is over $60,000. So very few people are actually going to pay, and I'm going to see if my face can make these sounds. Very few people will actually pay $400,000 for that bachelor's degree at one of these schools.
Yale University has money set aside that in bank accounts that is something around $3.5 billion.
It's in the billions.
$3.5 billion, something like that. A lot of money. You know what would happen to me? I'd have a kid who's a smart kid. You know, a smart kid, but just not quite smart enough to get the help.
And yet, this would be their dream school.
dream school and, to go to Yale.
And,
right.
Yeah. And Bob would be like, all right, let me sell my teeth and a kidney for
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, chit chat pays for everything. It's Bob and Sherry.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
It is talk back time. Now, there are a couple ways you can call the show. You can always use the phone. Those do still work to talk, not just text. And you can call us at 844-52-SHERI, 844-52-SHERRY. Or you can have our app, which is free, and you can do everything with the app, like listen to the show every day and all of our podcasts, including Talking Lamar and True Weird Stuff and the Oddcast. You can enter contests and even send videos. And there's a little microphone in the bottom center of the screen. Tap it and talk your head off and the app will do the rest.
Hi, it's Graham from Hudson, New York here. I was just listening to the latest Oddcast about the DNA testing. And Sherry, I have to say, I think I had a very similar experience with your goddaughter. I also was expecting to see like a large percentage of Italian in my results because my grandmother on my father's side comes from Northern Italy and he's only Italian and German. So that really narrowed down what I could be, you know? And when I got the results initially, I had no Italian listing and I also kind of questioned my father for a minute there and went through that whole ordeal. Like, I didn't really believe it too much, per se, but can't deny that thought did cross my mind a bit. And later it turns out that, like you said, it's not a guaranteed certain percentage that you're going to be from generation to generation. And also, these results, they kind of update over time. Like, I've had several updates since I initially took this test, I want to say like 2 or 3 years ago, and I am now up to 22% Northern Italian. So we're looking in the right direction. But I thought it was funny that I was hearing a very similar experience that your goddaughter was having, and I thought I'd chime in and just confirm everything you guys were saying. Love the show. Hope you have a great one. Bye-bye.
Oh, I'm so glad you called. Yeah, I mean, people don't, I mean, who among us that isn't a geneticist really understands the whole DNA thing? And these consumer DNA test kits, they kind of overpromise and kind of exaggerate what they're able to tell you. But that part about, you know, it updates because the more the technology develops, the more we can know about the DNA samples that you've shared. So yeah, don't always assume that when your 23andMe comes back, because this is what happened in my family. If your 23andMe comes back and now it looks like maybe your daddy is not your daddy, don't be looking at your parents with the side eye, because it's a roulette wheel. It just spins and you get the genetics you get, which is why, and we talked about this in that episode of the Oddcast, which is why you can have a child who looks exactly like a grandparent 4 generations back. If you're the kind of family that keeps photos and
keeps,
you know,
up with
could
that,
read
yeah.
and write back then, like Bob and I don't come from those kind of people, but yeah, it's fascinating stuff. And it can look really damning when you first get the results back.
What shocked me about it is, let's just say your mother is Italian and your father is German. You would think it would come out 50% Italian, 50% German.
It doesn't, though.
But it doesn't.
It doesn't, though.
That was the thing that was surprising.
Because of other ancestors? Because of other ancestors? That.
Yes and no, Bob, because it's not a perfect 50-50 split at the moment of fertilization. You might get 20% of the Italian genes and not 50% of them. But you also have to know, like, my grandmother on my father's side was pure Italian. That was it. Like, her people came over on the boat. She was the first child born in America on that side of my family. But her genetics were a wild mix of all sorts of things that were Italian and Greek and Northern Africa and Jewish and just a million things. because your ancestors might have come from Ireland, but their ancestors and their ancestors' ancestors migrated across Europe after the Ice Age, and all sorts of combinations and recombinations.
Yeah,
and hookups.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Vikings would land, and they, and you know, they would pillage, and they would do some very bad things. The good old Vikings, and then they'd leave, right?
Yeah.
So there are people in Great Britain that are literally related to Vikings.
My brother, when he did his 23andMe, Viking, because the Irish side of my family is Galway, Ireland, Vikings. Mm-hmm. And my brother, you've never seen a man happier to be a Viking.
Listen, the Vikings might have conquered Ireland, but they still can't win a Super Bowl.
Amen, brother. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
So I've been following a really interesting thread on social about open concept floor plans. And it started with the original poster saying, I think open concept floor plans are the worst idea ever. I liked them until I lived in one, and now I realize that my kitchen mess can be seen from every angle, and it makes my whole house look messy. Plus, it's noisy and smelly. Open concept floor plans, worst idea ever, yes or no, let's discuss. Bob, we'll start with you.
Okay, I have had one that was completely open concept. It was a house about 3,200 square feet. And you walked in and you saw a lot of glass. This is before you and I were together. You saw a lot of glass and you saw the living area and to the left, the kitchen area and in between the dining. It was all one room, basically. And I liked it a lot. But what we did design upstairs, there were a couple little nook areas where you could, the kids could play. And there was a large bedroom that was sectioned off for like a little office. So it really worked for me completely. I don't know if I'd do it again. I don't know if I'd do it again. I think if I were to design a house today, it would have a living area. And then it would have a kitchen / lounging eating area where there would be a couch. Because everybody always goes to the kitchen at a party, right? So expand it so nobody's, like we have a very small kitchen where I live now. Expand it so people can be in the kitchen but also sit down and there's an eating area. And that's how I would do it differently today. I like that.
Well, I live in the miniature version of a middle school gym, which works for me, but I have to say it is loud. And yeah, there's no way to hide a mess ever. Like you just you
in the can't. In the magazines, there you know, a crew comes in and lights it and cleans it and brings in fancy dishes that you'll see. But that's not how you live as a person.
One of the things that made me want to do that was I'm the person in my house who cooks and I was always alone in the kitchen. Like always.
Yeah.
Thought, well, you know what? If I can't make them come to the kitchen, I'm going to bring the kitchen to them. And then it turns out that I'm still alone in the kitchen, but they can see me rolling my eyes and making faces at them, which is kind of a problem.
Well, at least they're uncomfortable. I hope so.
That is the goal. It is louder, and you do have to live a certain way, like this very tidy, minimalistic, clean as you go kind of way, which is very difficult. It's super difficult for me. Like my mom could do it, but my mom can do it because she lives alone. If she lived with a bunch of people, she would go mad and have to sleep in her car. Mm-hmm. She couldn't do it. How about you, Lamar? Open concept, yes or no?
Open.
Worst idea?
Open. No, it's a great idea because like you, I do all the cooking. And if we've got company over, now we're fortunate, the kitchen, we redid our countertops and stuff so that they can sit, you know, at the bar or whatever.
Right.
But still, the TV and everything's over there. So I wish it was – the one we've got is not quite as open as I wish it was. So that way I could look in and see everything going on and participate. And, you know, that's what I like about the camper is the kitchen is right there where everybody's sitting in the TV. So while I'm cooking and whatever, we're all having conversation. And I just like to open. I really do like open concepts.
I think the biggest waste in American real estate is the formal dining room. You know, it's a harbinger back to Great Britain in the 18th century, you know, when the wealthy, you go to their home and there's the living area to the left. There's the formal, you know, the formal dining room. Nobody uses that. I had a house once where I said to the ex, let's just take the formal dining room and turn it into a playroom for kids because it's next to the kitchen. We can keep an eye on them. I thought it was perfect. It was only used like one day, 2 days a year. And of course, that was dismissed because I'm a complete idiot.
That was a stupid idea. Well,
if it was Bob's idea, it was a bad idea. But if a friend from the gym had suggested it, y'all would have been getting dressed for dinner like the king and queen and eating there every night. It's not your fault, Bob, that anything you said was immediately thrown out.
I was just, that's how I was born.
Whoa, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
It's Bob and Sherry.
Can you believe this is sponsored by Progressive Insurance? Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I believe this.
A
friend of mine sent me a link to an article and said, take a look and tell me what you think. So I clicked on it. And the headline is, The Woman's Guide to Marriage. Brutal truths about being a wife. And I thought, all right, well, let me take a look at this and see what I think. And all of you, except for Doc, who is committed to pizza and softball and dying alone, as he has announced, all of you are in marriages or long-term relationships. So it'd be interesting for you to hear this from that perspective. So some of these you're not surprised about. Marriage is hard. Your grandma told you it was hard. And your grandma was right. It's like being in a hurricane in the Gulf of Mexico on a kite. Like, it's hard sometimes, right? So that's true. We get that. Honeymoons don't last forever. We get that. Arguing's inevitable. We get that. And then we start getting into these things, which I think are true. At least they have been for me. But I'm going to ask y'all why they need to be true. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Your husband will never use a coaster. He will always miss the hamper by 2 inches. I don't, we do our, everybody in this house does their own laundry separately. But it's I can't accuse Kevin of missing the hamper. What I can say is no one, including Kevin, knows which clothes are dirty or which clothes are clean because he washes them, he dries them, he puts them back in the hamper, he puts it back in the closet. Then he can't remember if they're clean or not. So then more dirty clothes go on top. And over again until the sun dies. Here's another one. He'll make a mess.
Can I comment? Can I comment? On that one. So I have this little table that I bought when I was single, and it was a nice little table, and it's next to the couch where Mary sits, and sometimes I sit when she's not sitting there and watching TV. And I bought coasters in New York City years ago at the Museum of Natural History, and they have these animals in it. They're really nice coasters. There are two of them on this little table. I have taken pictures on my iPhone of the two coasters with nothing on them, and next to them, her drink. Not just once. I'm trying to figure it out if she's gaslighting me on this. And it drives me out of my mind because the little table is starting not to warp, but some of the coating on the top from the varnish is starting to come off. She will not use a coaster. So I'm clean on that one.
You are clean on that one. Kevin doesn't use a coaster. Kevin also makes a sandwich directly on the countertop without the benefit of a plate or paper towel. And let me tell you something. I had to wrestle with that. I had a dark night of the soul where I had to say, can I live with this? And the answer is yes, I can clearly live with it, even though it drives me insane. And also, some days I want to say to him, how's that ham, Sammy? Is that good? You know, Larry Munson was just sitting there with his big old butt. But if you don't care, I don't care, right? Hey, like, I'm not your mama.
You know, clean up after him with a little bit of barkeeper's friend. That's very
Clorox
strong.
Wipes.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I wear a bandolier around this house that has like floor spray, Clorox wipes, paper towels. Okay, here's another one. He may just grope you relentlessly. Try to find it flattering. He will question your sanity sometimes. He won't remember most of your stories. I can't really. Bob, Lamar, the three of us cannot blame our partners for tuning us out.
No.
Can we?
No.
Can we really?
No.
I mean.
No, we cannot. No.
We cannot. That's all we do is talk.
Heard it. Yeah.
He's thinking about football. Well, that is certainly the case for my life. If he's in the bathroom naked and you happen to walk into the bathroom, he's going to do some hip thrust dancing and you're going to need to try to ignore it. Feed the man. Listen to what it says. I know you're tired, woman. I know the last thing you want to do is slave over a hot stove and make a homemade dish, but feed him at least one time per month. That's that's fair. Like Lamar does
that's
all the
doable.
Cooking in his house.
That's doable.
But
yeah,
I can throw a plate at the man one time a
every
month.
Once
I have
in a while. Yeah.
I had book club last week and he's been recovering and he's like, I insist that you go to book club, woman. You go see your book friends. You need to get out of the house. So I bought him a frozen dinner because he informed me that they're delicious and I'm so high maintenance and bougie and why can't I just eat like a regular person? So I bought him a frozen dinner. When I got home from book club, I said, how was your frozen dinner? He said, it was so disgusting. The little apple cinnamon dessert was burned by the time the meat was cooked and it tasted like dog food. I was like,
oh, like a TV dinner.
Sounds like somebody's getting a little bougie high maintenance up in this house. Yeah. We'll post the rest of these up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. Guilty. This is Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, podcast, fun size, and more with the free Bob and Sherry app.
So I read this thing about what are people's favorite surprises, things that just come out of the blue. And number one was finding money on the street or in a forgotten coat jacket. Like, and especially if it's like a 20, right? It's people love that. It's great. And the second one is getting a tax return, getting money back from Uncle Sam. I haven't had money back from Uncle Sam. I can't even remember how long it's been. Here's what I don't understand. If I have a 401k stock and I've made $24 on it over the course of a year, if I don't report that because I just missed it, the bomb squad is going to be outside of my house. The FBI in those blue and yellow coats are going to be knocking on the door demanding their money. And yet I read all the time about these billionaires who pay almost no money in taxes, or they pay less than a secretary in a school.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know how that still happens, because everybody knows it does.
Because when you have $1 billion, you can buy a section of the electorate. You can buy yourself a couple of congresspeople or senators or whatever, and they'll keep you out of jail. You're going to prison, Bob. You're going to do hard time.
I know.
But maybe,
for 60
maybe
bucks.
We'll be in a co-ed spot, because I've already announced I'm heading that way because I can't even understand my taxes.
Wouldn't that be something if you and I ended up our existence talking to each other through prison bars?
Prison bars, yeah. Yeah. That's okay. I've already told my children I would rather be launched into outer space than fill out the FAFSA form again. I am not doing it. I can't go through it again.
It's just so exasperating. It is. Make them pay more. It's Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
Well, here's something kind of unbelievable. Andrea is no longer married to this person, but when you hear what their wedding cost, Bob, your head will explode. Andrea, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
We're good.
Thank
you
for joining us.
Todd said that you had to tell us what you spent on your wedding because we'd never believe him.
Well, I mean, really, I think my mother has the exact total of it. But it ended up being around $1,000 per person and then plus some for, you know, some of the extras that we had going on.
$1,000 per person?
I'm sorry?
Did you say $1,000 per guest?
Yeah, it was a very small wedding. I had...
Did everyone get a refrigerator? Wow, that's a lot, isn't it?
It is a lot, but I had a very small wedding. There was only 50 guests. You know, I wanted my closest people to me, my inner circle, just there. I didn't want, you know, just to have a bunch of people that I really didn't even know.
Yeah, sure. Wow. So what did you get for $1,000 a head?
Well, my parents had just finished building their lake house. It's on Lake Oconee, and that's in Georgia. And literally in the next cove of the lake is a Ritz-Carlton hotel.
Nice.
And that's where Carrie Underwood got married.
Oh, really?
And they were the ones that, you know, we went to them and they pretty much, you know, got different vendors for me to select from and, you know, put it all together for us.
But what do you get for $1,000 per person? Like, what was the food? What'd you get?
What we did is while we were still taking pictures, we had everybody go downstairs. It was a split level where the, you know, main party was, to have champagne and past hors d'oeuvres. And then we didn't have a sit down. We just had stations. There was things like crab cakes, stone crab claws. I can't even remember a lot of it because I didn't even eat really at my own wedding.
Of course you didn't for $1,000 per person. I mean, it sounds amazing, but when you look back, set aside the marriage, the groom, all of that. Let's just look back at what you paid for in terms of a catered event. Did you get your money's worth?
Absolutely.
You did. Okay.
It was beautiful. It was the wedding of my dreams. We were, instead of, you know, having a car take us away, we had a boat take us. We stayed in the Ritz-Carlton suite that they actually gifted to us. And it's a suite that has like a separate butler's entrance and, you know, full kitchen and everything. That's where we spent our
If I were the father of the bride, that would please me very much to make you that happy. But I know myself. And I would welcome every guest by saying, so glad to see you. You cost me $1,000 today. It's so nice to see you. You cost me $1,000 today. Every person would have to know that their presence cost $1,000. I know me.
And he really would. That would be part of his speech, his toast.
Oh, yeah. I would open and close with it.
And then instead of throwing rice or wildflower seeds, we would throw Monopoly money.
Right, exactly.
At the bride and groom.
Yeah, just to make a point. That's right.
I mean, you know, me and my mom were kind of the ones on top of the planning, so I don't know if my dad had a whole idea
girl.
What the bill was
girl, Bob,
at the time.
Bob could know nothing until the day of, and he would still be letting everyone know he spent $1,000.
That's exactly right. Now, was your father, because the marriage didn't last, does he ever bring it up? You know, it cost me $1,000 a head.
No,
because, good for him.
No, my, I have fibromyalgia.
Yes,
and I'm pretty much bedridden, and my husband literally walked out on me without
so
much as a goodbye
heart.
Or a tell me where he's going.
Oh, bless
so,
your heart! What a miserable thing to do.
Throw that in my face.
Yeah. I can see that. Well, that is something, but, and you know, it's a memory you'll always have, though, right? The experience.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous. It was exactly what I wanted. Right. I mean, it was the dress I wanted. And I mean, the dress was, I would say, modest price. It was about $4,000. As you know, I mean, wedding dresses can get extremely expensive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no question.
And I was
and now that I'm doing your math, I'm like, her dress, that was two guests and their plus one. That's nothing.
Hey, Paul Manafort went into a men's clothing store and dropped
$500,000
on himself.
Still looked like a bag of taters.
Well,
hey,
Andrea.
It's only money.
I never spent $500,000 in a store before.
There you go.
It's only money.
Andrea, God bless you, and thank you so much for listening to us. That was quite a tale.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Take care.
$1,000.
$1,000 a head. You, I haven't talked to you yet. Come over here. Put the shrimp down. You know how much this? How much you cost me today? $1,000. No, really? You did. $1,000.
How much would you like to be a guest at a wedding that had a stone crab station?
I would like that.
Bob would be over there like the Kraken, just devouring everything.
That'd be great. This is Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
Online, older adults, and when I say older, I'm talking about just like in their 30s and 40s, are revealing the things they're too old to deal with anymore. Once again, these are mostly people in their 30s and 40s. Here's the first one. I don't do anything recreationally anymore. If I'm not enjoying myself, I'm not going to a movie or a show. I turn it off. If I'm not having fun at a party, I leave. I went wine tasting with friends recently, and when they started making fat jokes about a friend who wasn't there, I noped right out. All right.
Good for you.
Number two. That's right. I'm in my late 40s now, and unlike my younger self, I don't seek out friends. If a friendship happens organically, great. If not, I don't care how cool, rich, popular, or connected you are. I'll be friendly to you, but if we don't vibe, we don't vibe. That's the way I feel. That is so the way I feel. Number three, never again will I buy a pair of jeans that do not stretch or have to be broken in for weeks to fit me. I get that.
I'm definitely on board with that.
I don't even bother with social media anymore. I don't post pics of my vacation or anything else exciting going on in my life. I don't need validation from other people. As I have learned a long time ago, that most people really don't care what you're up to. It used to be a joke that the worst thing you could do was force people to sit and look at your vacation slides. I figure I'm going to be the one person to give others a break from that torture. Good for them. Good for them. I don't waste my time arguing with other people in traffic anymore. If you're trying to cut in aggressively, just go right ahead. Letting things like this makes my day better, especially on my way to work. I am so trying to do that. If you want to cut in, go ahead, pal. You know, what's it to me? And that's a hard thing for the Bobster to do. I've become aware that I'm probably on the spectrum as an older 40 person, and I'm leaning into it. I've stopped doing things I hate to order and trying to fit in, or carefully watching the people I'm with so I can mimic their social cues. It's saving a ton of energy, and honestly, I quite like the me who is emerging. This woman says, I've abandoned underwire bras and bikini cut panties in my early 40s. Even with big boobs, I can get supportive bras without the underwire. So obviously this is nothing that I know about. Is that a thing that's happening with women right now? I see the ads on TV.
Yeah.
It is?
I think the COVID lockdowns really damaged the underwire bra. Once you didn't have to wear one, you got used to not wearing one. They're miserable. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if one without an underwire works about as good, why have underwire bras been around so long?
Because underwire bras really do the job. They're just miserable.
Oh, okay. All right. This person says, if we go out on the town and there's a friend or even a relative who's living there, I am not staying at their house. I would rather pay for a hotel room and have the temperature the way I want it, sleep in wherever, and most importantly, have my own bathroom. I agree. Now, not everybody has the coins to do that when they're going to visit relatives, grandma, or whoever it is. But boy, I so get that. I just hate sleeping in other people's homes. Am I the only one here on the show here this morning that feels that way?
It depends.
I'm going to stay at my mom's house. I'm going to stay at my brother's house. But otherwise, I'd rather, because they have beds. Like, I just don't, I don't want to sleep like on the floor if I don't have to.
Right.
At this point.
Yeah. Or on a futon.
I like a hotel. Yeah, right. I like a hotel.
This person says, I will never again pay to attend a concert without seats. I mean, who wants to stand all evening to see an artist perform or sit in some itchy grass? Completely count me out. Being forced or bullied into family functions. Don't get me wrong. I love my family. I love my fiance's family. But I don't want to do gingerbread houses with my... I want to do gingerbread houses with my family at home. Don't expect me to show up with every gathering. We have lives outside of yours. Yeah. I don't put up with drama anymore with a relationship. Any relationship that somebody keeps breaking up and getting back together is exhausting. I'm ready to pull the plug as soon as the girl I'm dating threatens it. So it's a power move, but I'm just too exhausted to go through that. What'd you think? I thought all of those were actually not crazy. I thought they were all
I don't think
thoughtful.
Any, yeah. Yeah, none of them were right. crazy. I'm with you.
Right. Yeah. It's Bob and Sherry.
So Bob was just talking about this survey of people in their 30s and 40s and the stuff they're just too old for. They're not going to do anymore. They're not staying at other people's houses. They're not going to concerts without tickets. They just don't want to do it. They're not going to do things. They're not going to watch things they don't want to watch. They're not going to do things they don't want to do. Well, this is a shameful confession, but like, and it would be different if we had gone to see it in the theaters. Kevin and I have been trying to watch Killers of the Flower Moon for so long now.
Yeah.
And it is a very good movie, but mm-hmm. it's over 3 hours long. If mm-hmm. you're in the theater and you've paid and you've got the popcorn and you've parked and you're in it, right? But when you're in your house, so the first pass at it, about 45 minutes in, I hit the pause button. And said, can we finish this tomorrow? Because I'm just not feeling this right now. And I want to give this movie my full attention. Because all the performances in it are great. Lily Gladstone is amazing. I mean, when she's on screen, there's nothing else. She's just so hypnotic mm-hmm. in this role. De Niro is good. You know, playing like the De Niro kind of guy. DiCaprio is good. Playing that character that he has played. He's very, very solid. It's unspeakable, the story, which is based on a true story. It's terrible, all the things that have happened. Mamar, have you seen Killers of the Flower Moon?
No, I've been meaning to take 2 weeks off and look and watch.
Yeah. 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 I feel terrible. And I'm in no way like pleased to report that I cannot get through Killers of the Flower freaking Moon. I don't know the pacing. I don't know. I'm not saying it shouldn't be 3 hours long. Maybe it should be 8 hours long. I don't know. But there's something about this movie that I have a borderline like allergic reaction to it. It's like the end of the day. It's about 8:30 p.m. And Kev will say, did you want to finish the Leonardo DiCaprio movie? Maybe tomorrow.
Is it kind of like kale? You know you're supposed to eat it, and you're eating it, but you're going, I'm not really enjoying it.
I think it's true. I think part
Everybody
of it
says
is
it's remarkable. It is remarkable. Right.
But it is not a comedy, and it is not, you know, the classic Marvel action movie. 3.5 hours of really intense drama is a lot for most people.
Mm. Heartbreaking. True
totally.
Story.
Yeah. Totally, yeah.
It does feel, and what we've seen so far, we are a solid 1/3 of the way through Killers of the Flower Moon. Now, we have been watching it since electricity was invented. Like, we've just been watching it forever since it hit streaming. But what we've seen so far is, I mean, it's visually gorgeous, and everything about it is A+.
And a story that needed to be told. And a story that needed to be told. Yeah.
And a story, like, I'm really fascinated with that chapter of our nation's history. So, like, I was primed to love this movie. And it just does feel a little bit like Kale. Like, I know that it's awesome and I'm consuming it. But there's a part of me looking around the room and going, you said this was your favorite thing on the menu, and I think you're lying. Like, there's no way this is your favorite thing on the menu.
But you feel awful even thinking that, because you know that you need to embrace the horror that these folks went through back then. I mean, it is a part of America's history.
I can embrace the history. That's not my issue. The movie feels very much like, and it, maybe it's just me, maybe lots of other people are like, I was on the edge of my seat. Mm-hmm. It just feels like you have to pay so much attention. Again, this is a movie theater movie, because once you buy that ticket, you're not getting out of that seat, and there's nothing to distract you from the movie on the screen. With Killers of the Flower Moon, you cannot have the phone ringing, a pet in your lap. You can't have any distractions. You must sit
groaning
in a dark room, and watch this movie all at once. And that was the mistake we made. We should have gone to see it in the theater. I'll be looking forward to your take on it.
This description reminds me of people who went to see Schindler's List, another movie that needed to be seen by everybody, but was really, really tough.
But gripping. Like, I've seen Schindler's List a handful of times. Gripping. Can't turn away. Heart in your throat. Killers of the Flower Moon is a different... I'm going to withhold all judgment until, like, you've seen it, and Lamar's seen it, and Max and Doc have seen it. And if y'all could get to that before the century ends so that we could talk about it, that'd be great. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the Bob and Sherry off-air podcast called The Oddcast.
I was listening to the podcast.
With stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, or shouldn't do on the regular show.
Podcast.
On the current Oddcast, Sherry relates a weird experience she had in school. Was it to help her learn, or was she somebody's test guinea pig? The Bob and Sherry off-air podcast, called The Oddcast.
I heard your podcast.
Yes, please go on.
On the free Bob and Sherry app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
Mark Garland was checking in at Heathrow Airport, London, for his flight to Bangkok, Thailand. However, he was told by the staff that he had already checked in. Well, 40 minutes after all the confusion, the staff finally worked out there were actually two Mark Garlands on this flight. Huh. The pair didn't just have the same name, but they also have a lot of similarities as well. The two Marks were able to meet at departures, and they quickly noticed how similar they looked. I mean, and they do. They look like they could easily be brothers. After discovering that they both had identical shaved heads, the two Marks found themselves sitting next to each other on the plane. The older Mark, 62, and younger Mark, 58, discovered they live just 15 miles apart. Younger Mark is a bus driver. The other Mark is a builder. Well, the builder Mark has apparently even got on the other Mark's bus and rode the bus before they met. This is just crazy. The pair even have a friend in common. They are both single, and they have four kids. And considering that they were on a flight to Thailand, the two Marks are big fans of that part of the world. Younger Mark said, "We were shocked by how strange it was. We both kept laughing and smiling about it, and it just made me very happy." By the end of the plane journey, the two Garlands were good pals. They vowed to stay in contact. The older Mark says, "I've made a friend for life," and they're going to have discovered each other, and I guess they're going to continue to be friends. Is that
That's
not
fantastic.
Awesome?
That's wonderful. It. Yeah.
I mean, what are the odds? The odds of that are astronomical.
I know.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
I mean, they look, when you see the picture, they look a lot alike. So I don't know. Maybe they need to run a 23andMe. I'm not sure. We'll find out. This is Bob and Sherry.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.